This week on PGN Correspondence, one drunk geek reviews Fiddler's Elbow. The Synapse reviews Godfather 3. What's the deal with George Elroy? And Evan Rosenberg with a new top 5 list.
Hello, hello, everyone out there in internet land. It's Jordan again. You know, I was going over my DVD collection the other day, and it occurred to me that I've owned the Godfather trilogy for about 2.5 years now, so I decided, well, guess it's about time to watch Godfather Part 3. The first two Godfather films, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, are uncontested classics of cinema, held in very high regard by film critics and gangster rappers alike. But I'd heard more than a few unflattering remarks about the third installment throughout my life, all of which can be summarized most succinctly by that one Simpsons episode where an upset fat Tony D'Amico, Springfield's Mafia Don, said, "I ain't never cried so much since I paid money to see Godfather 3." Fat Tony is, of course, portrayed by actor Joe Mantegna, who was in Godfather 3, so there. Now, having watched it for myself, well, this movie is like the corpse of a stately and powerful mafioso, riddled with holes from the Tommy gun of stupid. Let's begin at the beginning. Andy Garcia's character is at a party, because every Godfather film has to start at a party, and he says to his date, "You see that big gorilla over there? That's Joey Zazz's top enforcer, Anthony Squigliaro. They call him the Ant." And just as I start to retort with, "What, did he think the squid would be too obvious?" Andy cuts me off with, "They say he dips his bullets in cyanide." Well, holy crap, son! Those bullets could kill someone! Fast forward a bit. Al Pacino, as Don Corleone, is seeking advice from a priest in a beautiful garden courtyard when he suddenly, out of nowhere, acts like he's having a stroke. He says, "Padre, I'm having a diabetic attack here. I need something sweet. Orange juice, a candy bar, anything. Hoo-ah!" So the priest relays this to his valet, who reaches behind a nearby Grecian column and produces a large tray containing a pitcher of orange juice, one glass already poured, and about a dozen candy bars in an eye-pleasing fanned arrangement. I ponder the whimsical concept of Catholic cathedrals in Europe providing parishioners with their choices from the dessert tray for quite a while. So long, in fact, that it dawned on me days later that diabetics suffer sudden debilitating attacks because of too much blood sugar, not too little. Read a book, Francis! Moving on to the finale, well, it involves several brutal mob slayings in and around an opera house. Now, as the cap on the Godfather trilogy, I would say it was suitably grandiose and violent and Italian. Although, the tone is marred somewhat when one of the victims gets shanked by his own eyeglasses. Do you remember the part from Shoot 'Em Up when Clive Owen shoved a carrot through the back of one guy's throat? I picture that guy watching Godfather 3 and thinking to himself, "Damn, what an undignified way to go." But no critique of this movie could be complete without mentioning Sofia Coppola, the director's daughter. She gives nepotism a bad name. Her performance starts as wooden as the Keanu Reeves forest. "Daddy, inviting me to join in your nefarious criminal enterprises has brought us closer together. Lean forward and hug guy from Dog Day Afternoon." And then it runs the gamut all the way to Valley Girl. "Oh my god, Eddie Garcia's like so totally hot. Like, I don't care if he's my cousin. We're gonna have like so many flippered babies." Oh yes, did I forget to mention that her character's sole motivation, her raison d'etre, is to bang her cousin? What a shame this movie is never even considered among the ranks of the great incestuous love stories, like Scarface, or Old Boy, or Star Wars. You know what? This had potential. The story of a man trying to reconcile with his family, who were estranged by the immoral choices he made in order to protect his family, is an inherently powerful and absorbing one. But as I watched it, every 10 or 15 minutes, a howler line of dialogue or a horrible acting decision splashed across the screen and shattered my immersion. Or, to paraphrase this movie's one decent quote, "Just when I thought I was in, they pull me back out." So for the final question, do I, like poor old Fat Tony, feel like crying because I paid money for this movie? Not quite. Well, maybe if I had paid money for that movie Coppola made later, starring Robin Williams as a 10-year-old boy.
Oh, God! I don't want you to see me like this!
Good day.
What watch? I say, what's the deal with them there iPod phones? I mean, they ain't got no rotary. How do you dial? Thank you.
Hey guys, Evan here with another list for you. This time, it's a list of the top 5 excuses for urinating on a playground. Coming in at number 5 is the excuse, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Now, this excuse is a special case because it only works if you are, in fact, Jeff Goldblum. Little known fact, though, vast majority of public urination cases, maybe about 72-73%, are actually perpetrated by Jeff Goldblum. You haven't heard about this because he's never been convicted, since this is such a good excuse. Coming in at number 4 is that the closest bathroom was in the school, and you're not allowed within 50 feet of the door of any schools. Coming in at number 3 is a very common mistake, at least in my experience. You thought that all those children were just very short bathroom attendants. You know, I mean, they've got candies. Sometimes they have towels. You know, it's an easy mistake. Coming in at number 2 is the fact that, you know, Cat always liked using the litter box, and you had to find a sandbox big enough. Now, you know, I mean, where else are you going to find a bigger sandbox? Sure, if you live by the shore, there's the beach. Most of us don't live by the shore. That's not how shores work. They're not everywhere. Come on! And of course, at number 1, again, very common mistake, you thought the slide was a water slide and no one would notice. Back to you guys.
How's it going? Welcome to One Drunk Geek. I'm your host, Brian Massey, and it's another lazy Sunday here today at Sean's apartment. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Today we have Witchwood Fiddler's Elbow. It's ale hailing from England.
Ooh.
And let's see here. On the back it says here, Fiddler's Elbow is a wonderfully refreshing ale brewed with choice malt and hopped with Styrians. I have no idea what the fuck Styrians are.
I have Styrians.
Yeah, it says it's S-T-R... No, it's S-T-Y-R-I-A-N-S.
Are they like mini-chlorians?
I have no idea. We might be Styrians? Jedis after this.
Huh?
Yeah. We might be Jedis after this. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Let's see here. It has an earthy hop aroma balanced by juicy malt with a tart citric fruit in the mouth and a long quenching hoppy finish. Basically, that just
in
has
the mouth.
Be, yeah, it's got a mouth.
Get in your mouth. Get in your mouth, boy. Get in there, man.
I can't see. Let's see how much. I'm guessing this has like a. It doesn't really say.
You want me to hand me the bottle and I'll.
It doesn't really say how much alcohol content per volume there is, but yeah, it's
Let's see here.
This is not the first
Fiddler's Elbow.
This is not the first.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. This is not the first Witchwood I've ever had. I've also had Hobgoblin, and I've had their regular Amber Blonde Ale, both of which are very good, but kind of hard to find. This one I found, again, in my local liquor store, and it was $4.99 for a pint, so it's half the price of last week's brew, and hopefully it's a little better, because if you listen to the Yeti review, you kind of... heard that we didn't like it that much.
Yeah, except for me, but, you know.
Yeah.
But I like everything. So, so you can't really, my opinion's kind of, he likes everything. Except for Beast Ice. I hate Beast Ice. All right, this looks pretty interesting. It has, I couldn't really find anything in terms of ingredients besides Styrians, which at this really small fine print, it looks like Syrians. But tish, but it definitely looks pretty good. I'm ready to try it.
All right, let's crack it open. All right,
do 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 do. He's cracking open the beer. Do do. He's putting down the cap. Do do do. Smithing.
Ooh, that smells really good.
Pouring Sean a glass.
Huh? All right. Letting
Justin takes a smell.
Justin takes a smell.
Justin takes a smell. He poured the beer.
Put it into his mouth.
Put it into his mouth.
All right, here you go, buddy. All right.
That's good enough for a tasty poo.
All right,
cheers. That's interesting.
That's very interesting.
It's very understated. You notice that? Like, it has a Pilsner taste to it.
You know, that's the first thing that popped out to me.
It's a Pilsner. I think it tastes like a Pilsner.
It says it's an ale. Like, why are these companies lying to us all the time?
It's nowhere near an ale. This tastes like a Pilsner because it has the top note of Pilsner, like where it groups its flavor with the carbonation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I think it might be because I had a Yingling earlier that it's tasting a little different for me because. What I'm tasting is kind of, it's not bitter, but it tastes like, how do I describe it? Let me see.
Drinks.
I don't know how, I don't really don't know how to describe this one.
I do like it though. It's one of those mood beers that you have to be in mood for. This one. It's subtle. It's not like a punch in the face like the last one was.
Mm-hmm.
The last one just punched you in the face, like slapped you in the dick and said, "Shut up, you're getting drunk." Like that's what the last one was. Had that much hops in. This one, it's very.
I'll tell you what this tastes
level.
Like.
It's level, definitely level.
It's very level, but I'll tell you what else I think of when I taste this. It tastes like a fall brew. It definitely tastes like a fall brew.
I was almost gonna say that because it does have that feeling like you're in fall. I could enjoy this. I would recommend because it doesn't have anything to recommend it with on the bottle. But I would recommend some pumpkin pie. Yeah.
Pumpkin pie, definitely.
I recommend pumpkin chiffon, but that's me. I mean, that's me.
We've had this debate before about pies.
Yes, we had this. We had on your pie countdown last time. Which I'm probably gonna end up listening to again, but I think it definitely has. It's Pilsner, like I don't care what they say. It's a Pilsner.
It's very much a Pilsner.
It's a Pilsner, like you know, with a little bit of ale, but it's a yeah.
Well, something else again. Like I might even go so far as to say it tastes kind of like a pumpkin ale. You've ever tried like Weyerbacher's or even like Sam Adams? It tastes kind of like that.
You know what this tastes like? It tastes like if you took Magic Hat 9 and shut up, it's a good beer. you take a less syrupy version and you just kind of and you put some carbonation with it with like some carbonated water, mix it in. It would taste similar to this.
I would say that plus take some of the notes from, I'd say something along the lines of, something along the lines of Yingling, perhaps, not even so much the taste, but just the consistency of it, and that's kind of what I'm getting.
And the thing is, it doesn't, and the people who drink beer out of a bottle, you don't get as much taste, I think, if you're drinking out of a glass, because right now... Here, taste it out of the glass and see if you notice any difference.
Are you one of those people who like not only does this with wine but beer as well?
Well, I'm not really a wine fanatic
because
I just know Bouton Cadet is really excellent for cooking. That's about it.
Okay, you know what? Hold on. That's actually kind of interesting.
Because you tasted something different there, didn't you?
It actually tasted okay. If you've ever done this with a wine, what you do is you let it sit for about 5 to 10 minutes. You pour it in the glass, you let it sit. Because what it does is it oxidizes and you get that flavor. And I think that's the same kind of thing that's happening with this beer. Because in the bottle, it's kind of like all mixing together and you're getting kind of a eh. But in a glass, when you let it air out for a little bit, I can definitely taste it kind of just
You taste the beer more. That's really why I like the coffee one. If you had a more open glass, it needs to the other one needs to oxidize more. This one can be withheld into a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and it reaches all the taste buds. Well, if you have a glass, which is nice, but it's not a bad beer.
It's not a bad beer at all.
It's not a great beer, but it's not a bad beer. I think the bottle itself led me more to believe that it was something that was stronger than it actually was.
The bottle, to me, I guess you don't judge a book by its cover, but by the bottle, it just seemed to me like it was going to be more of like a classic ale.
Yeah, I was expecting something with a little more oomph, to be honest. But
it's not a bad beer, again.
It's not a bad beer. I mean, it's better than Sierra. I mean, I hate to be people that are Sierra fans, but it's better than Sierra.
Yeah.
So what's the time on it?
We have about 8. We're at 8:30.
All right.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up. So what would you rate this?
All right. Being to keep in mind that this is probably, I was thinking, like a spring or a fall beer. This is probably perfect for spring now that now it's upon us. The March 21st is the first day of spring.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. Yeah, finally winter's over, whatever winter it was. I would rate this probably like for spring / fall beer, 3 out of 5 stars.
3 out of 5 stars? I'd probably go ahead and give it right around the same. I mean, there's really nothing special about it, but there's nothing also that would detract from it, I'd say. It's very much a middle-of-the-road ale, and for the price, too, because last week I paid $10 for that beer. This is a $5 beer.
Oh, well, that's really good, then. I mean, and based on the price, that's nice. I mean, I'm talking in terms of just beer and what you're paying for it. Like, if you paid $5 for that,
mm-hmm.
that's a three. Yeah, I still keep it a 3 out of 5, but that's really good for $5 beer.
Totally. I will go ahead and recommend the regular and the Hobgoblin. I'll go ahead and recommend the blonde and the Hobgoblin over this one, just because they're a little better. But that does not mean that you should not try this beer.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and if nothing else, it's a very good fall beer.
And now that I think we're wrapping up with this thing, you mind if I recommend some other beers for you to try?
Not at all.
One would be Golden Monkey, the Seeing Eye Golden Monkey. I think you can really, well, some shops carry it in Baltimore, Wells Liquors, and it's up above, it's right at the Baltimore line meets Towson, and very, very nice. Golden Monkey, it's like, not, it's dangerous, because it's 9% alcohol.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But it doesn't taste like it's 9% alcohol. It has a sweetness to it, and it goes down smooth.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, people who don't like beer would like this beer.
That might be something to keep in mind later on.
So I recommend that one.
All right. Awesome. Any other recommendations?
I think there's the version, the Oktoberfest at, which you are, I think you already tasted it, but the taste it live would be really nice. But I don't think they bottle it. We have to take it off, take this podcast, the BGN correspondent on the road at Barley and Hops, their version of the Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, because that one is definitely pronounced. I kind of want to do a side-by-side comparison of their beer and the Samuel Adams just for a taste test. Almost want to make it blind.
You know what? That's actually something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We liked it. You will too. And tune in next week when we review whatever I feel like.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.